have a little time to chew through it, analyze it, and understand it. What we're going to have today, the format's going to be as follows. Nathan Brostrom, who is the Vice Chancellor of Administration, will have a short statement to read. He also wants to read to you part of the ruling itself. And then after he's done, Athletic Director Sandy Barber will be here to take questions, and our attorney who manages litigation, Charles Olson, will also be available to take questions. What we'd like to do is really have the first part of this questions related solely to the ruling and the litigation. Afterwards, if there are any questions, we'll be happy to take questions about activities in the Oak Grove. But let's do first things first, because Charles, the attorney, has nothing to do with the Oak Grove, for example, so we want to just keep those two issues separate, but we will take all of any questions. So without further ado, Nathan Brostrom, and that's B as in boy, R, Robert, O-S-T-R-O-M.
Yeah, my name is Nathan Brostrom, B-R-O-S-T-R-O-M, and I'm the Vice Chancellor of Administration here at the UC Berkeley campus. We have reviewed Judge Barbara Miller's ruling, and one thing is clear. The university has prevailed on virtually every legal challenge brought to halt construction of the proposed Student-Athlete High Performance Center. We are very pleased that the judge concluded that state seismic law will allow the Student-Athlete High Performance Center to be built on this site. This is a major victory for our students. Let me read to you directly from the judge's ruling. This is from the introduction. The court finds that, with certain exceptions, the respondent's certification of the environmental impact report and accompanying findings and statement of overriding consideration for the Southeast Campus integrated projects and approval of the first phase of the integrated projects, the California Memorial Stadium Student-Athlete High Performance Center, complies with the Aquas-Priolo Earthquake Fault Zoning Act and the California Environmental Quality Act. The regions are subject to Aquas-Priolo's requirements. As a whole, the SAHPC project does not violate Aquas-Priolo because it will not be constructed on an active fault, and the SAHPC overall is not an addition or alteration to CMS within the meaning of Aquas-Priolo. However, as set forth herein, certain elements of the project do constitute alterations to CMS. In order to comply with Aquas-Priolo, respondents must determine the value of these alterations and of the existing CMS structure. The court also finds that the university complied with CEQA's procedural and substantive requirements for the integrated projects in nearly all respects. However, as set forth herein, the court concludes that the record does not support the university's unavoidability findings related to earthquake-related risks and additional noise and traffic impacts that will be caused by the addition of capacity events at the CMS. Make no mistake, we will be able to build a new Student-Athlete High Performance Center on this site in a manner that is completely consistent with the law, our commitment to the safety of our students and staff, and our obligation to be good neighbors to the surrounding community. The issue of how to handle the few remaining individuals who are illegally occupying university property is complex. We deeply regret that these people have decided to ignore the law, defy court orders, and reject our request to come down voluntarily. We have clearly stated that they are now and will always be free to continue their protest in a manner that is consistent with the law and respectful of the rights of the campus community. At this point, due to safety concerns, we do not intend to forcibly remove any of the protesters, but we are taking steps that will make it very difficult for them to sustain this dangerous illegal occupation. Everyone has now had their day in court, and it's time for this protest to end. Over the last year and a half, we have shown a great deal of tolerance towards the people in the trees. They have refused every opportunity to come down voluntarily. They continue to violate court orders from a judge who found this action to be nothing more than a dangerous, illegal occupation, in no way related to free speech or lawful protest. We have recorded more than 280 violations of the law, with charges including weapons possession, robbery, theft, vandalism, and assault. They are now using their own waste as weapons against arborists and officers whose only job is to ensure a safe college campus. As of now, the entire grove has been secured in order to prevent supplies and reinforcements from entering the area. Everything we do in the coming days will be informed by our overarching desire to minimize the chance of harm to any of our officers, the arborists, or the protesters. Now we'll open it up to questions.
So you're declaring victory. The other side is declaring victory. They're saying that the court had found that the university was not in compliance with seismic issues and not in compliance with California Environmental Quality Act, and that's why things were put on hold. Were they not put on hold?
Okay, Charles Olson.
The reason
we're claiming victory with respect to both CEQA claims and the Aquas Priolo claims is that I read the 129-page opinion very quickly, and on every single issue, except for two very minor technical issues, the judge has rejected the arguments made by the petitioners and ruled in favor of the university. I can give you some examples. The petitioners argued that the site was underlain by active earthquake faults. The judge rejected that. The petitioners argued that this was not a separate structure. The judge rejected that. The petitioners argued that the High Performance Center was an addition or alteration to the stadium, and the judge rejected that. What the judge did ask the university to do under Aquas Priolo is to put a dollar value on three minor elements, none of which relate to the High Performance Center: a grade beam under the west wall of the stadium, a exit stairway in the stadium, and a conduit for utilities or cable underneath the High Performance Center. Now, those last two aspects are no longer part of the project, but the judge based her ruling on the drawings that were 18 months old. But we will provide that information to her very shortly. On CEQA, there were probably 12 major arguments made by the petitioners. The judge rejected their arguments in 11 of those. In the 12th, which was a challenge to the CEQA findings, which are 70 pages long, petitioners made 7 or 8 sub-arguments. The judge ruled in our favor in all but one, requiring further evidence with respect to events that may occur at Memorial Stadium 6 or 7 years from now, after phases 2 and 3 of the project are complete. So it has nothing to do with the High Performance Center. The judge has clearly indicated that the High Performance Center can be built at the proposed site. So that's why we do deem this a 99%, 0.9% legal victory on all the issues that were presented, and we will quickly respond to the two technical issues that are part of the judge's ruling today.
Jeff? So then to follow up on that, I understand the judge has set a deadline for some court filings for next week, I guess the 24th and 20th. How soon do you think you can satisfy the judge's concerns and possibly get going on?
The information that relates to Aquas Priolo, we will provide that information to the judge in a matter of days. The information that relates to the one subpart finding that relates only to phases 2 and 3 of the stadium, which by the way have not been approved by the regents yet, that is something that we will also address very quickly. We think it will be a very short period of time before the judge's concerns will be addressed.
Do you have to appeal the ruling, or you can just respond to the judge's queries and go from there?
The judge is allowed, in a CEQA case such as this, the judge is allowed to retain jurisdiction of the case, and Judge Miller has retained jurisdiction of this issue, which is good for us. She's obviously very familiar with the facts in the case. She's been working on this case for 18 months. It's been extensively briefed in every conceivable way. So we consider that a plus that Judge Miller has retained jurisdiction. We will intend to work with Judge Miller to address her concerns and do that as quickly as possible.
And the injunction?
The injunction, we will be looking at this decision more closely. I mean, we got it, I think, at 6:30 or 6:45, so I haven't had much. It's 129 pages long. We will be looking at it more closely, and I will have more information about the injunction probably tomorrow.
But the injunction holds. You can't start building yet until the judge says okay.
The order from Judge Miller's statement of decision today is silent on the injunction. So presumably that will be resolved in the next couple of days.
Any other questions?
And then just to, get bogged down in that, but I mean, if you satisfy Judge Miller's concerns, would you hope to be able to start work, I mean, this summer, this fall, or do you think about that at this point?
We plan to start work as soon as the injunction is released. We have not been idle in the last 18 months. We've continued with the design and planning for the student-athlete High Performance Center, and believe that we'll be in a position to go out for bids as early as soon as the injunction is released.
You talk about what you're going to do in the
future. Sorry, instead of just keep shouting out, do you mind with other people you've asked two questions? We'll get to, just if you could raise a hand. Sorry. Yes?
Does the injunction stay in place until the hearing of the 24th?
Again, as I answered to the last question, it's somewhat unclear right now. I expect it'll be clarified in the next day or two, either by our request or the petitioner's request of Judge Miller. I mean, one of the things I think, too, in response to the earlier questions and timing, with a 129-page decision in which the judges ruled in favor of the university on every issue except for these two very small technical issues, we feel that we have a very clear path set out for us in terms of how to respond to those issues expeditiously and move forward to satisfy Judge Miller's concerns and then move to, if the injunction is in place, to move to have it dissolved.
The attorneys for the other parties also believe that they have won tonight. And one of the things that they pointed out in their press conference, which I just left, was the ruling that the university is subject to the Aquas Priolo Act. And if the logic follows from that ruling, it means that the stadium itself is also subject to the Aquas Priolo Act. And according to the plaintiff's attorney, that might mean, very likely will mean down the line, that any attempt to alter, refurbish, or fix the existing stadium will fail because it will cost more than twice as much as its existing value to redo. Do you have an answer to that?
Yes, I do. I have the same answer I've given Judge Miller. Judge Miller did not rule on the valuation issue. She did rule that Aquas Priolo applies to the university. The university had said throughout this process that whether it applied or not, the university would comply with Aquas Priolo. We have presented information to the regents and to Judge Miller as to the valuation of the stadium. We believe that's a number that's a reasonable and defensible number, and the people on the campus that are planning the seismic corrections and program improvements to the stadium have been working within the 50% limitation of that number throughout this entire process, and we're confident that that is the correct approach and would be upheld, but it's not subject to this litigation.
Is your value contention based on the existing value of the structure as it now stands or the cost of a replacement structure? Because that seems to be the point at issue.
The California Building Code, which the university has consistently used throughout this process to define undefined terms under Aquas Priolo, defines value as the replacement value of a structure. The legislative history of Aquas Priolo has indicated that they have not determined how to value, how to define value, and that it should be left up to each local jurisdiction to define value. The university has used replacement value, and that is the basis of
the decision. There was language in the decision that covered the attempt to gloss the building code with ordinary language. I don't know that you feel that this decision has completely left that avenue of reasoning out, or can that still be brought forward?
I'm not sure I totally understand your question, but we're confident that the university's interpretation and approach to interpreting Aquas Priolo is a solid one and would be
upheld.
It has
yet been upheld, right?
It's not an issue in this trial because the valuation is not an issue.
The pages of the decision that discussed the topic.
That is what we call dicta in legal terms.
So I have a question. I don't even know how to ask it.
Can you speak up just a minute?
At the end of the ruling, which is talking about how she's going to retain jurisdiction by prescriptory something or another, that's not talking about the injunction?
It's peremptory writ. What that means, what the court is saying there is asking first the petitioners and then the university to suggest how we should address the technical deficiencies under Aquas Priolo and CEQA that she's pointed out. Again, the issue about valuing the great beam, the non-existent stairway project, and the non-existent duct project, we will do that. That a writ would say, okay, the university needs to go do that and report back to the judge in X number of days. The same on the CEQA finding. What are you going to do to address this issue?
Okay. because the other side is taking that, the fact that they're supposed to come up with the first document, they're taking that as a sign that they're in charge.
Well, no, it means that they simply propose something, the judge is in charge, believe me, not the petitioners. And they're simply proposing language, which, to which we will undoubtedly object and propose our own.
Jesse, Joseph?
Just historically, from your experience, how long might this take to work out legally?
It's hard to say. I'll know more next week. I mean, we're thinking of this as being a very short process again, because the judge has provided a very clear roadmap.
But if you get into the question of them offering a writ, if you offering a writ back and forth?
These are such simple issues. If you read the opinion and you see what's left after the 129 pages, and you see how simple these two issues are, This is not like the original case where we had 400 or 500 pages of briefing and 10 days of argument and literally 18 or 20 major legal issues that were raised. These are two very technical issues, and we expect that Judge Miller will be able to choose one writ or another proposed language very quickly.
How many times has the university litigated
out
this before this?
Once.
So you don't really know what's going to happen, I would say.
We do know what's going to happen at the trial court level, because the judge has told us clearly that we complied with Office Priolo but for evaluation of this grade beam.
But isn't that the gating factor?
No, not at all. We have evaluation number in the record, and the grade beam will come. It'll be a very de minimis cost that will have no effect ultimately on the High Performance Center or phases 2 and 3 of the CMS project.
Excuse me, 1 second.
I mean, just for what's in the record, and actually Judge Miller's decision is not accurate in the sense of saying there was no information in the record about evaluation of the stadium being presented to the regents. There was evaluation. It was presented to the regents on more than one occasion by Vice Chancellor Denton. That valuation was $593 million based on 2009 construction costs. We will provide an exact valuation of the grade beam, but the estimate is probably $250,000.
So, I'm sorry, I was late. It was a little difficult finding this, but the contention that you're making is that the valuation turns only on the beam and does not turn on the whole structure itself, and further, that the university's cost estimate is based on replacement cost and not on the current value of the structure as it stands. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's absolutely no question that the valuation of the grade beam is a separate issue. It has nothing to do with the High Performance Center. The judge has ruled that the High Performance Center is a separate structure, and therefore the valuation issues are not at play.
But what about the valuation issue of the main stadium?
That is only in play when the university, when the regents approve phase 2 or phase 3.
So down the line, it will be in play.
Yes.
This is our last Mr. Cross from you get an overview of the project. If this, and we've all been using bigger as I have, $125 million. What things have changed in the last year? What's your, if and when you get a green light for this, cost, length of time, this kind of thing?
Yeah, this will all be estimates, because we don't have, we haven't gone out to bid, but we do know that there has been significant construction inflation in the 18 months since we got the project approved. We now think it's probably in the range of about $140 million. And again, it's 158,000 square feet. It will house 13 of our sports, including football, and 12 of the Olympic sports. And we'll go a long way to address some of the facility shortfalls that we have in Cal Athletics.
And how long might it take to complete?
2.5 years.
So I just want to confirm that construction would begin as soon as the injunction is lifted, or something is going to begin as soon as the injunction is lifted?
We will be moving forward with construction. Obviously, it's not going to start until we have to go out for bid and all that, but we are, in place to move forward as quickly as practical.
Does that mean preparing the site? Or?
Yeah, and we have to coordinate with, we have an upcoming football season, and so we have to coordinate those plans depending on when the injunction is released.
Okay, in the back against.
You talked about what you do over the next several days will be in keeping with the safety of the university and the...
Well, we're not quite there yet in the trees. We'll get there, but we're just finished about legal questions about the litigation and the legal process. Yes, ma'am.
So my question is, so the reality is you're claiming victory that there's just a few little hurdles left, but the reality is you can't build, you can't move ahead right now.
Well, the reality is the judge has said that we can build a center on this site, and I think that's the most important thing. She said, you know, first of all, that it is a separate structure from the stadium, that we have a clean building site to build on, and that as far as the Student Athlete High Performance Center goes, we meet all of the requirements of CEQA. And so I think that is why it is a victory for us. We can build this first phase of the stadium project.
But there you are can't two, build it today.
We can't build it today. We weren't going to build it today.
You know,
but yeah.
In theory.
But we hope to be doing it as quickly as possible.
What about the traffic impact questions under CEQA?
Let me address that briefly. The CEQA requires that you make a determination about significant impacts, and you have to adopt mitigation measures, if feasible, to reduce those significant impacts to a less than significant level. If you cannot, then CEQA allows the lead agency to determine that those impacts are significant and unavoidable and make the requisite findings in their CEQA findings. The three impacts at issue from the EIR indicate that in the future, and what the EIR says is that there will not be additional capacity events at the stadium until the stadium has been retrofitted. So it's after phase two and phase three have been completed, that the university would hold up to 7 additional capacity events a year. Because you're bringing more people to the stadium than currently just for football, the EIR concluded that there would be traffic, noise, and possible geology impacts from those events that could not be fully mitigated and therefore were significant and unavoidable. Judge Miller questioned whether there was enough evidence in the record for that finding. It's a very short issue, it's one paragraph.
I just want to ask Sandy, I'm going to invite Sandy to say a few words unless there are any other questions about the litigation, about the ruling.
Just one last thing to clarify, just from the judge's own language, she's saying that the project will not be constructed on an active fault. Something I get confused about. I mean, the stadium is on the fault, but the training facility is not.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, what Aquas Priolo and the university policy on seismic safety both prohibit construction of new structures for human occupancy across the trace of an active fault. The university hired state certified registered geologists to conduct trenching and boring beneath the site of the High Performance Center. Those results in peer review and prior studies all led to the conclusion that there were no active traces of a fault beneath the High Performance Center. The structural engineers designed the building so that it is not the same structure as the High Performance Center, and I mean, as the CMS, because CMS is on a fault. Aquas Priolo allows you to build near a fault, not over a fault, as long as you prove there's no active traces beneath the footprint, which the university did, and Judge Miller concluded that that was the correct decision and was supported by substantial evidence in the record.
With the exception of the connection.
Pardon?
What was the seismic question then? Because there was a seismic question.
The seismic question, again, relates to this impact in the future. If you bring additional people to the stadium for 7 additional events, you're bringing people into an earthquake zone. That's where the only place where seismology was at issue in her decision. On Aquas Priolo and on the CEQA analysis of seismic issues in the EIR, in all other ways, she fully supported the university's analysis.
If you can't, if the current stadium will not be able to pass the Aquas Priolo test, will you still go ahead and build the gymnasium? In other words, if the evaluation determines that the stadium is not going to be able to be used, then what would be the point of building?
First, we think that's a very unlikely scenario.
And it's down the line. But yes, the
campus has consistently indicated that the High Performance Center has value in and of itself, based on its proximity to playing fields in the area that are used by the teams and to classrooms, and it would be built regardless of the future of CMS.
And frankly, the one of the principal life safety issues we face is not the 60 or 70,000 people that are in there 6 days a year, but it really is the 400 or 500 students and staff who use this on a daily basis, and it is for their life safety that we are building this.
Okay, we're going to ask Sandy for a second. Just one other, Jeff, for response to your question.
Yeah.
And it's something that the popular understanding hasn't kept up with engineering. There's a huge difference between on or near a fault when you're talking about construction. And the fact of the matter is some of the country's leading experts who are here at the Berkeley campus and people who we've consulted with have made it quite clear that this building, when it's completed, will be one of the safest buildings in the city of Berkeley and far safer than many of the structures that are now found downtown. So without any further on that, Sandy, just want to say a few words. Take them. You can move another question either based on what Sandy has to say or about activity in the trees.
This project has always been about our students. And so the judge's decision today, which provides us with a clear roadmap, a clear path for expeditiously getting this project underway, is really a great day for our student athletes, for the opportunity for them to have safe and quality conditions for success, training facilities, competitive facilities, et cetera. So from that standpoint, we really believe that this is a great day and great progress for our student athletes.
Any questions for Sandy? Okay, questions about activity. Yes, sir.
Can you recap what happened today in terms of number of arrests and also elaborate on what you had said about during the next 4 days, what we will do? We'll be keeping the safety of the protesters and the police and the crew there in mind. What do you plan to do in the next 4 days, and can you recap what went on today in terms of arrests and activity with the university?
Yeah, we'll give you a sort of a two-part answer. Just let me address what happened today. Today, activity continued in the same vein as yesterday. We continue to remove gear, remove structures, remove supplies, to do all the things necessary so that it will be extremely difficult for the people who are involved in the illegal occupation of university property to continue with that. The arborists continue to work for the time being under instructions not to be involved with physical removal of any of the tree sitters, because at this point we really see no way to do that in a manner that minimizes the risk of injury to either the arborists, the officers, or the protesters themselves. So we continue with that. Last report is that the remaining people in the trees are all now in a single tree, and we really hope that there will be an outbreak of common sense sometime soon and we can bring all of this to an end. There were 3 arrests today. Charges for one of the people included vandalism. Another person was arrested for violation of a court order which prohibits aiding and abetting the people in the trees. There was also an attempted robbery. And then there was one other person arrested. The two arrestees, the initial arrestees for vandalism and attempted robbery, are non-affiliates, meaning they are not students. And then there was a woman arrested, and I don't have any information on what she's being charged with or what her status is. The two gentlemen, again, who were arrested were taken to Santa Rita. Will be charged and dealt with according to the law.
But none of the tree sitters were arrested.
No, not to the best of my knowledge at this point. No, we've been locked up looking at this ruling. So if anything happened in the last 2 hours, we don't know about it. But up until 5 o'clock, that's the arrest status today.
And the second part of the question about what's going on in the next 4 days, you talked about.
Yeah, I don't really want to speculate. I mean, frankly, I don't know because we have been reviewing the ruling, and the chief and the police and the arborists have still been busy at work. So I don't want to speculate what is going to happen. I just would echo what Dan was saying. It's been 2 very long, difficult days for our police officers and arborists. They've done a tremendous job under very difficult and disgusting circumstances, and have really done a terrific job in terms of removing gear and removing the structures in the oak grove.
Are you
going to
ramp up?
We don't.
Ramp up the work that's going on. Is this victory that you say you've gotten today from the courts, though unrelated to the protesters that you've already won in the past to get them out of there, does this give you the push to ramp up, speed up the work to hold the lines?
No, I don't want to speculate. I have not talked to the police chief or anyone else involved.
What precipitated this course of action in regards to removing the structures and the traverse lines? I mean, when I spoke to you yesterday, you seemed to indicate that you were providing everyone their day in court, and now that the situation has been, the judge has made a decision that it was time to take action, and yet the ruling, basically, as I understand it, you're calling a victory, but the injunction still stands. So what exactly precipitated this removing the supplies, the support, and why didn't this happen, say, 18 months ago?
Well, what precipitated is breaking the law and illegal occupation of university property and trespassing and assault and weapons charges and drug charges and battery charges. That's what precipitated.
But why not?
One at a time first. I understand the meaning of the word. Thank you.
But why not 6 months ago? Why not 12 months ago? Why time it in regards to this decision, which seems to be a sort of open door decision at this point?
This is a really complex case, and I think there's plenty of room for second guessing. The fact remains, it's a very complex challenge. The university wanted to deal with the situation in a manner that's consistent with its values. We showed a great deal of tolerance. We really hoped that the offer to come down voluntarily would be taken advantage of. That turned out not to be the case. So at some point, we decided to let the legal process play out. And then once everybody had their day in court, to put the pieces in place to bring the occupation to an end, to a safe but certain end.
The plaintiff's attorney contends that removing the lower limbs of the trees, which took place this afternoon before the decision came down, was a violation of the injunction which was in place at that time. Do you have anything to say about that?
Charles, if you want to add in, but if you want to talk about that just for a second. Judge Miller made clear all along that we, even under the terms of the injunction, that we were able, we retained the ability to do everything necessary to ensure security and safety. And that so long as that we did not permanently alter the site, that we were able to do what was necessary in terms of creating a safe, more safe, more secure situation.
Cutting off the lower limbs of the trees makes them safer?
If those limbs are being used for resupply, for reinforcement, to bring additional people into that area, yes, absolutely.
Are you at all concerned with the tactics you guys are using? I mean, you had a woman on top of a crow's nest today, 100 feet above the ground, jumping up and down.
Well, that was her tactic, Jesse.
It was her tactic, but admittedly, this seemed she was being agitated, rightfully or wrongfully, by two guys on a crane. Mm-hmm. Are you worried that these sort of tactics are going to lead to something unfortunate?
We're really concerned, which is why we're taking this step by step in a very slow, methodical fashion. I mean, let's be clear, we've received a lot of criticism for the amount of tolerance we've shown. We've received a lot of criticism for not acting in a more aggressive fashion. We're trying to navigate through a complex situation with one overriding desire, that nobody get hurt. After all, this is a 1923 landscaping project, not an ancient forest. And there's nothing here worth getting hurt over. So every day, we're going to take it on a day-by-day basis. We're going to analyze what's happened. We're going to analyze the impacts. And we're going to continue to act in ways that ensure the maximum amount of safety. The fact remains is, so far, nobody has been hurt.
In terms of the protest, you said they're mostly on one tree. How many was left there today? How many people?
Eight or nine. We're estimating about eight or nine are left.
So, but why yesterday? Why did you start this process yesterday?
As opposed to
6 months ago, as opposed to 3 months ago, as opposed to
tomorrow.
I understand.
A lot of it had to do with the resources, that if we could have started this a long time ago, but we would have had to expend a lot of resources in terms of police officers that we just couldn't afford to do. We knew that the court date was going to be today, and so we viewed that strategically and effectively this was the best date to do it.
We have time for one or two more questions.
I don't understand what that meant. What? You said that the issue was...
If we had done this 6 months ago and removed them, then we would have had to staff the site with a lot of police officers in order to maintain security at the site during the remaining 6 months.
Anyway,
I'm sorry?
And you had to do it today anyway because it was the court date?
Yeah, and we feel that there's a short window in which we can secure the site before the injunction is removed.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody.